Sozzi!
No, that's Matthew Sozzi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozzi.
Rock over London, rock on Chicago, Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Welcome, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology here on WFYI HG2 to Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, and we have a blog. You can check that out. Oh, the show is available on iTunes, and it's also available as a blog. You can also listen to it online on Monday. But yeah, where can I go to read the blog?
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Man who's taken time out of his draft.
Yes. And a man not started yet.
I know. And a man who just apparently finally got around to deciding lunch, Kobe
yes.
Slagle.
Yep, it happened. I went.
We're gonna talk about that a little bit before the draft starts, because
okay.
I know you'll be busy.
No, it's...
We'll get there.
Okay.
There. But we have company.
Yes, we do.
We do. And, of course, it's company who has his own theme.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music.
To it?
It's music.
And I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you doing?
There are no words to that. Did you hear what I was saying earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Welcome, Mike Perry.
Great to be back.
Good to have you back. And for the record, I called him on Wednesday.
Yes.
Apparently there's a running tote now as to how late or how early I call you on to be on the show.
Well, you still hold the record with like 2 minutes before.
Okay, right? Yes, yes. You just finished working out. I'll never forget that. That's what makes this show and my guests great.
Yes. Yes.
Well, just one other note before we get into the movie business. Tonight at the IMA, if you don't have plans, I can't remember if this is the last one. But they're showing Superman outside. So if you want to see Christopher Reeve flying and Valerie Perrine, not enough Valerie Perrine in that film for my taste, but that's out there as well. And, yes, Kobe, so where did you finally eat lunch today?
Went to Champs. After much deliberation, I went where I said I was going to go after the coin flip.
Yeah, your lunch choosing skills are baffling, sir.
Baffling?
Baffling.
What is baffling about that?
Okay,
sometimes you want... You haven't been a lot of places.
You have three lists of restaurants in the greater WFYI area.
Yes.
And you live, and now you're going to have to reword one of them, but there are three types of restaurants in
yes.
Kobe's world when it comes to lunchtime. Please share this with the audience.
Well,
this
there's
is great.
There's the quick list, the not so quick list, and the takes for GD ever list.
Right. So. And what was added to the GD ever list?
What was that?
You choosing lunch.
Oh yes,
takes
yes.
for GD ever. So I saw you. You were pining. You were sweating.
Yep.
You were torn between
it wasn't
two restaurants.
As bad. It
feeling
wasn't as
like
bad
a fool.
Today as it was Tuesday.
Oh.
Tuesday was really bad.
Okay.
Michelle can attest to that.
Okay, good. But you wound up doing a coin flip
between lists first.
Right.
And quick and not so quick, obviously.
Right. And then,
of course, as you know, it came up not so quick.
Right. I was there. I
yep.
witnessed it.
Yep. And at that point, it moved on to the finals.
The finals.
It was between, where was it? It was between Payway and Champs.
And like Butler couldn't get a ball in the basket to save
Aww.
His life. Sorry. Go on.
And
you picked Champs.
The coin flipped said I should go to Champs, and I went to Champs, and it was good.
And was it fast?
It's on the not so quick list.
So it's, the, but it's
staying
there.
And the not so, yes.
So
yes. I was in and out in an hour.
Okay. Well, that's why it's called lunch hour.
Right.
So including driving?
Yes, but we had to go downtown because Michelle had to pick something up at the convention center. We had other commerce.
Okay, yes. That's fine. So like Europe, like English soccer, can a restaurant get from one list to another as time goes on?
I think so. That is solely based on service. Well, distance to the place kind of comes into effect a little bit there. But mostly it's based on service. So
all of this runs in your head like around 11:30 in the morning. Kobe,
yeah.
I don't spend this much time with my wife when it comes to things involving buying our new house. I'm just saying.
Just saying. That is just saying.
So let's get to the movies now that I've now that we've shared a bit of what is Kobe psyching out about. That's a little later on in the show. More than you want
we'll
to know.
We'll have more what's Kobe eating later on in the show.
Right. I ate a bunch of chocolate today. Tracy gave me a big bag of candy, so.
Well, she's not a stranger, so it's okay. Opening in theaters today is a documentary called Senna. And for you racing fans, this was about the Brazilian motor racing champ Ayrton Senna, who, if you don't know his name, well, listen to this audio and you'll get a little bit more about him.
78, I came to Europe to compete for the first time. It was pure driving. It was real racing. And that makes me happy.
He'll be ranked among the all-time greats.
How do you feel about being world champion?
It's not a bad feeling at all, is it?
Ayrton has a small problem. He thinks that he can't kill himself. And I think that's very dangerous.
You are competing to win. And if you no longer go for a gap, you're no longer a racing driver.
Now Foss takes the lead. Senna is trying to go through on the inside.
I was treated like a criminal.
The best decision is my decision.
I can't stand this.
Walking away from the dark forces just doesn't become an option.
I was not going to give up.
So have any of your girlfriends ever asked you to go faster?
There was an energy, a force, a spirit. It was electrifying.
It was the last time either of them would be on the podium.
Ayrton ran out of luck.
There is a lot to go, a lot to learn, a lot to do. But I have plenty of time. Pure driving. Real racing. That makes me happy.
I want to see this.
Well, I think you will.
Yep.
You should.
Yep.
Put you in here. You're straight cash, homie money. Go see this. I was pretty much, this is a collaboration between ESPN and Universal Pictures. And I think always a sign of a good documentary is if you know nothing about the subject or maybe you don't care about the subject, you still get pulled into the story. Now, I'm hoping a lot of people come see this because if we're one of the racing cities. So,
yeah.
And, you know, this is obviously a Formula One champ. I don't know a whole lot about F1. You know, but as we find out, he won three championships, apparently should have won a fourth. And I'm sorry, I don't think I'm really spoiling anything because that's like giving up the Martin Luther King story. Guess it happens at the end. But he was the last Formula One fatality back in 1994. 1994, mm-hmm. I believe. So that helped. He did help change a lot of safety regulations when it came to the autos there. But also how much of an impact he was in his native Brazil. He stayed there. He wasn't a guy who, he wasn't Allen Iverson or LeBron.
But it was fun to watch him race. You just never knew what he was going to do next on track.
And it's funny, watching this, it reminded me a little bit of Steve Prefontaine, because he was Steve Prefontaine was the Olympic runner who he had two speeds. He wasn't running or he was out in front. Yeah, I know, that's a speed. It's on the speedometer, not running. And what was interesting about Senna was he loved racing in the rain. In fact, he went even faster in the rain. That makes him a daredevil. Not a bad Ben Affleck film, but
those are the best F1 races to watch is when it's raining.
Right. So, and there's quite a bit of that. There is the storylines that you expect from a documentary about this: the rise, the fame, the clashes with members of your own team, which really show up. The really cool footage. I mean, of course, a film like Grand Prix did this in the mid-60s, where basically you have car cam. That's always fun and fast and loud and all that. And has, a Brazilian pop score on top of it. That's pretty cool. One of the things that I was really impressed with was getting inside the driver's meetings, which I've never seen before. And it does go into the politics much further than I had anticipated. But there's a very dramatic moment where he walks out because of, such issues as which side of the track does the pole position car go on? Do we use cones as borders as opposed to tires? And, there's a couple crash moments in this film that I think it earned its PG-13 rating for what it's worth. I was asked by a colleague if his son, young son, should watch it. If he's in auto racing. I said, yeah, sure. Just kind of know how it ends.
Yeah.
It's not good. Not pretty. But I mean, pretty fascinating guy, and it moves, not just because it's an auto racing movie. funny. But, but yeah, this was some. This was a person that was introduced to me cinematically, and hopefully it will be for you as well. And if you're a racing fan, I think you're going to enjoy it as well.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now I have to preface by we had no screenings this week, and that's a gripe for another time. I got Senna as a screener at home, perks of the job. So sometimes when something isn't screened for the press, that means you have to go see it first thing Friday morning or Friday afternoon.
What'd you see today, Matt?
I did not see anything because I was on the board. Thank you very much. Someone has to be. And then I had to spend time with the lovely Miss Associate to do some house stuff. Mike Perry, however, stepped up for the team.
What'd you see, Mike?
I saw Columbiana.
Ah,
with the lovely and lethal Zoe Saldana.
That's how she's labeled, actually, is that. So, yes, that's right. It's Uhura from Star Trek and The Losers and Avatar. Yes.
Yeah, you've hardly seen a movie in the past 3 years that hasn't had her in it.
And now, are you officially one of her correspondents now? Are you the correspondent?
That list just gets longer every week, man.
Well, that's your problem. And our pleasure, so.
But, yes, I do appreciate her talents very much.
And you appreciate her talents very much.
Yes.
So tell us about Columbiana, which is not a Hoosier movie.
No, it's not. It's about a young girl in Colombia who watches her parents die at the hands of the local mob, and she spends her entire life getting even. And she's a little girl who wants to be Xena, warrior princess, when she grows up.
Really?
And she makes her way to America. And
turns into Kill Bill, the bride.
As a child and finds relatives, and her uncle trains her to be a world-class assassin. And so when she's
wish all world-class assassins look like Zoe.
Yes. And so the rest of the movie is pretty much her finding her victims one by one.
One by one. Of course they're one by one. They never travel in pairs.
No.
No.
Never.
They never travel in packs, man.
No, they don't. Now, this is a film, and this is another, this was produced by Luc Besson, but not directed by
Luc
Besson.
And he was one of the co-writers.
Oh, co-writers. All right. Because I'm going to get on Don't Be Afraid of the Dark in a little bit. But, this has a Besson stamp. Subtlety is not one of Mr. Besson's strengths.
No. Lots of stuff gets blown up in this. Lots of people get shot. And there's some sex here and there. And Yeah, she dresses down for an assassin. I mean, she, there's a few
casual.
Things, yes, like really Daisy Duke casual. But I don't have a problem with that.
as do we here at Film Sociology. Yes.
So you know the plot is weak in plot. There's really nothing in the movie that happens that should be a surprise to anybody.
But the movie goes bang and boom.
It goes bang and boom. So if you like gorgeous legs and stuff getting blown up.
Oh, this, is there also rock music in it?
Not well, Brazilian not, pop
not,
music.
Not so much, but it does wrap up with Johnny Cash's Hurt. So that scored some cool points.
Well, that actually is subtle.
Yeah.
By Luc Besson measure. Now, say in the pantheon, because you've also been a part of many of the discussions of the over the top action films.
Mm-hmm.
More like Red, less crazy than Red.
Less crazy than Red.
Driven.
It takes itself a little bit more seriously than
okay,
Red.
Okay, more crazy.
It's not as wild and purposely humorous as The Losers was. I mean, this is a serious girl going after serious bad guys. And,
with serious intentions.
And there's a lot of dramatic music.
Serious rock music.
But it takes itself very seriously.
Okay, so it's not Hobo with a Shotgun.
Not any stretch of the imagination.
I always
did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he saw it before me.
Yeah.
Because you saw it and Mike Perry shook his head. He put his head down and shook his head.
So, of course, I've got to get the DVD.
Yes. Well, it's out. It's out now. Well, no, because that you told me there was just a line, and you could see the film cross that line.
Yeah.
Like Usain Bolt. There, one of the things that has been said, because we've talked quite often about the over-the-top, the it's knows it's ridiculous action films, Machete, The
right.
Expendables, Red, and yes, Hobo with the Shotgun, is some folks complained, like some of my colleagues, that you can't make a $30 million grindhouse film. You know, it has to be on the cheap. And Hobo with a Shotgun was made on the cheap. Despite the presence of Mr. Hauer, and is probably captures the grindhouse feel more than anybody because it crossed the line, like you say, Bolt. It's more like a trauma action film than any of the others.
Yeah, a lot of notable stuff in here. I mean, it continues Hollywood's opinion that Chicago police are the dumbest human beings on the planet.
Columbiana does?
Yes.
Uh-oh. That's
half the movie takes place in Chicago.
No, is it actually filmed in Chicago?
Yeah, it looks like.
Okay, all right.
I recognize some right. scenery. Yeah.
Because Mr. Shabazz, who was here last week, I remember him telling me he saw the third Transformers film, and it was supposed to be set in Washington, D.C., and he saw highway signs. He went, no, that's Naperville. That's Chicago.
Yeah.
So, okay, all right. So that's fine.
But on the whole, if you, you know, like stuff getting shot and blown up.
With hot legs.
This
another
is
Rod Stewart
your film.
Tune. All right. Well, I guess Mr. Perry's saying this.
Oh man, I
you're not
that.
Ready.
No, I was getting there, but then
you're studying the draft, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I've got. Hang on a sec.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay,
there you go.
Gosh,
jeez.
Stay with us,
but,
all right?
But Zoe Saldana is going to be in every action movie made for the next 5 years.
So when they make the female version of the Expendables, she's in it.
She's destined to be wearing a cape and tights here soon. I mean,
I'm sorry. When's your birthday?
In December, baby.
So long as she does a movie where Pam Grier plays her mom.
Yeah,
that's all kinds of awesome. All right, there's one other film I need to bring up because I was catching up on some other pictures, like Another Earth, which, well, it's not here anymore. But
no, it's not.
I recommend it, even though I'm still kind of trying to figure out the ending. It's a good version of Monsters Ball. It's a good version of Bounce, and those were good films as well. But the inflictor trying to heal the inflicted. So there is a redemption story with not really a science fiction twist, but there is this whole...
There's a sci-fi element to it.
There is a subplot about another planet that is just like ours.
And seems to get closer in every scene.
It does. It's a little unnerving, but in a good way that, the Earth looks like it's covering up the entire sky, Earth 2.
Yeah.
But there's a the moment at the very end where I remember I even came into your office. This is the film show host going, hey, did you see what I saw too? And is this what I think it might mean? So
I and It's really going to be hard to discuss it without giving the ending away.
Right. So, msoci@wfyi.org or yeah. Facebook, if you've seen it, tell us your interpretation.
Of Another Earth.
Yeah.
Which is the name of the-
but I still give it points on that. And a documentary, and I remember I watched Senna and this other documentary in the same day. One of the better documentary watching days of my career. Mm-hmm. I got to see Tabloid from Errol Morris.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
Yeah, this is the woman who chases down her Mormon lover and shackles him to a bed and is gonna the Mormon religion right out of him, literally. Well, it doesn't really happen that way, but she becomes kind of a tabloid sensation in England and is kind of a minor celebrity. And well, it's nice to see Errol Morris doing something lighter compared to his last several films. It's still shot the same way, a little Philip Glassy music and the talking heads that kind of edit so it doesn't look like it's one continuous take of conversation. This woman's a loon.
Yeah.
She is in the pantheon of, I'm glad I spent an hour and 40 minutes with her. I don't want to timeshare a condo with her. She's right up there with the guy from The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, and some of the parents in Spellbound. You just want to shake violently like a British nanny. But it does say something about our tabloid culture. And this was 1977.
Yeah.
1978. And, it does bring up not really a whole heck of a lot has changed. It's just 24-hour footage. But she is fascinating to listen to and to watch a little bit, and then you can go away. So highly recommend watching Tabloid.
Are you recommending it?
Absolutely.
Or not?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Well, we see so many films that have despicable people in it, and we're gonna talk about one,
sure.
Not really one, but a film involving this actor. When we come with a break in just a moment, but I think we're kind of intrigued with the flawed and the bad and the weird.
Well, yeah.
You're listening to Film Sociology, film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store and box that are just red or blue.
Oh, or Soci Flicks if you're me.
Yes, or Bianca Flicks if you're with her. Fair sweet Bianca. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Love to hear your thoughts on Another Earth if you saw it. you tell us what you think the ending is about. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week is a film that we didn't see it together, but we both got to see it, so that's always good. And it's my top pick of the week, if I do have a category called top of the week. And it's Win-Win. And
Win-win.
It's from writer-director Tom McCarthy, who gave us The Station Agent, which I loved. And I remember I got to interview him on that film many years ago at the other building. And The Visitor, which a well-deserved Academy Award nomination for Richard Jenkins.
Yep.
And this one stars Paul Giamatti and
Amy Ryan,
Jeffrey Tambor, Burt Young. Mm-hmm. I always forget Burt Young is still alive, and well, he's not kicking, but he's still around.
He's still alive.
He's still alive.
He's moving.
He is moving. So check this out.
Mommy, where's Daddy?
He's running.
From what?
Hey, you're breathing funny. Is your heart? You could be having a heart attack, Mike.
No.
Let's lay down.
No.
Let's lay down.
Are you cold?
Yeah, because I'm lying on the ground.
Come on, I'm going to warm you up. It's okay.
Terry.
It's okay.
Are you all right?
Doctor says it's stress.
Sorry.
Did he prescribe anything for you?
Yeah, jogging.
What are you so stressed about?
Money is tight.
This boiler sucks.
How much to fix it?
$6,000.
Holy. My law practice is struggling.
Mr. Poplar has been deemed incapacitated by this court.
Did we win?
And the team is hopeless.
I can't watch this.
Who's that?
You're looking for Mr. Poplar?
He's my grandfather. I came to live with him.
I don't have a grandson.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Does your mom even know you're here?
She's at a clinic or something. She doesn't care about me.
She's a druggie. I'm not sending him back there.
So what do we do?
Go to Ohio and beat the crap out of his mom.
Kyle here is going to be working out with us for a little while.
Have you ever wrestled before?
A little.
I don't think we can teach him anything.
Can you give me a slap?
Okay, like that?
A little harder.
Why Daddy hit Kyle?
I have no idea.
Kid's got man strength, dude.
Man strength? What's it like to be as good as you are?
It feels like I'm in control of everything, you know?
Must be nice.
Mom, what are you doing here?
This kid really hates his mother more than I hate my ex-wife.
You can't let her take me back to Ohio.
Mike?
This kid's got a chance to do something special. Maybe even change his life.
Yes!
I want to see my son!
Give him a call. You got his number.
No! What, are you freaking mom?
I did not think that it would get this complicated. You stay in this, okay? This is your place. This is your place. You control it. Remember, you control it.
Win, win.
Oh my gosh, I'm very embarrassed.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's yep. Who's calling? It's my dad.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let that.
You need to send him your radio schedule.
That really doesn't matter to him. Seriously, it doesn't. Wow. Well, welcome back, folks. So what I love about these three films, Station Agent, The Visitor, and this, is you have a lead character, and they all happen to be male in this case, who are kind of stuck in their rut. And it doesn't need to be an extraordinary circumstance or a cinematically extraordinary circumstance to get him out of it. Now, in this case, as you heard in the trailer, he's got financial issues with his company, with his law firm. And one of the things he winds up doing is taking over the care of one of his clients, and therefore a monthly check comes in. That's the Burt Young character. Therefore, a monthly check is going to come in to take care of. Well, that's right. That's how it happens with the state. So,
well, slightly unethical.
Slightly unethical is a good way to describe it. And yes, then the grandson who comes out of nowhere shows up, and he's a wrestler, and of course, Mr. Giamatti's high school wrestling team is just
dreadful,
sad. Dreadful,
awful.
Just sad. So anyway, so like Peter Dinklage in Station Agent, like Richard Jenkins in The Visitor, Giamatti winds up improving himself. And, of course, some things are going to come back to haunt him, whether it's a mother or a client or something along those lines. I really, really enjoyed this. Giamatti's always good to watch. And Amy Ryan, who's
surrounded with an excellent cast, I think, but besides Amy Ryan and Jeffrey Tambor, you've got Justified's Margot Martindale.
Ah, yes.
Opposing attorney, Emmy nominee. We've got... well, and the kid is just incredible.
That was his first film, I believe.
Yeah.
Not an actor. So really, really good. But has the right amount of, you know, quiet. The thing with the quiet, those quiet teenagers and their one syllable responses, their monosyllabic things.
I don't think he speaks more than a sentence at a time.
Right. And then, but when he gets out onto the mat, he's just impressive. So yeah, really, really enjoyed it, and hopefully you can go rent it or buy it on Blu-ray. Now the other thing, and Kobe, you brought this up during the break, was, and I brought this up with a not so likable character, was at the same time Giamatti was in a film called Barney's Version,
mm-hmm.
which I really, really enjoyed.
I enjoyed it too. I could never quite
like him.
Like Barney.
But
I wanted to like Barney.
I know, but he does some fairly sleazy things. And, you know, guess what? So does this guy. A little.
He does.
A little bit.
He does.
So there's something about Giamatti's able to make these two characters. Now, you didn't like Barney. I liked the movie.
I just didn't like
I know,
Barney.
The character. That's what I mean, the character. You didn't like Barney, the character. But I, there were so you, st- I th- you still were with him on this one. I was, and I think,
and
both of these, I was on both of these. I know you were on Win-Win. So, but yeah, Giamatti's just got, he's got a really good streak of stuff going. So, let's hope it keeps up.
And saw the trailer for The Ides of March, and he's in that. And the excellent movie. It's the Clooney Ryan Gosling political thriller. It's coming up.
That's
in the,
cool.
End of the year, and Giamatti plays a sleazy politician.
No.
Well, a campaign manager.
Okay. All right. That's true. Ryan Gosling's not on your list, right, Kobe?
No.
Okay. Just checking. A couple other. Oh, I forgot to bring this up. I'll bring it up briefly. Our Idiot Brother opened in theaters today. That's Paul Rudd and Zooey Deschanel and Elizabeth Banks and Emily Mortimer. That's a fun family.
Yep.
And Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which is a film not directed by Guillermo del Toro. This is what I was alluding to earlier. He produced it, and I don't know if he wrote it, but when it says presents, folks, they're not directing.
Right.
They're producing, just to clarify that. Okay, also in theaters this week, this was a film that was on the shelf for a couple of years, and you can thank the star of the film for that. It's The Beaver, and it stars Mel Gibson, and is directed, and also stars Jodie Foster. Mel's a guy whose life is just going down the crapper, and all it takes is a beaver puppet to make everything okay.
Is Dad gone?
He's not gone, honey. We just agreed that it's better if we don't live together anymore.
I'm glad you kicked him out. What a loser.
This is the story of Walter Black, a hopelessly depressed individual. The successful and loving family man he used to be has gone missing. And no matter what he's tried, Walter can't seem to bring him back.
What's that?
It's a brain. Mom says yours got broken.
So you can see that Walter is a man who's lost all hope. But he's about to find his voice.
Bloody hell. Look at you.
I'm sick.
Do you want to get better?
Who are you?
I'm the Beaver, Walter. And I'm here to save your damn life.
The person who handed you this card is under the care of a prescription puppet designed to help create a psychological distance between himself and the negative aspects of his personality.
This is a joke, right?
No, son. It's a fresh start.
I'm not talking to you, nutjob. I'm talking to Mom.
Good morning, all. As of now, Walter was resigning and putting me in charge.
The funniest was the month. Have a look at this.
A beaver?
It's the future.
Mr. Beaver Woodchopper Kit selling out in droves.
I've been very patient, but I want you, not him.
This man is a dead end. He's gone.
I fought for you, and I will continue to fight for you because I love you.
I want Daddy.
I know, buddy. When I was a little kid, all I ever wanted was to be like you. Then I got older and just wanted to be anybody else.
And now,
Where do we start?
We start with a good part.
Now, this film sat on the shelf for a few years, like I said, because of the star. If it wasn't berating female police officers after getting pulled over, it's really horrendous phone messages to your ex. So, but it finally came out, and I like Jodie Foster as a director. She did Little Man Tate and Home for the Holidays, which are two really, you know, nice little pictures. And this is one of those, obviously, I guess you could say this about any film, is that if you accept the concept, then that probably makes the film a lot easier to swallow. So if you accept a drunken, near-suicidal businessman who puts on a beaver puppet and starts talking through the puppet and makes everything better and saves the company and saves his marriage and his children's relationship, even with Anton Yelchin, everyone's favorite, second favorite Chekhov from Star Trek, then I guess you can go with that.
Well, it's easy for me to picture Mel Gibson as bat guano crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And probably the highlight of the film, besides Jodie Foster, because it's always the pleasure to see her perform, she does a lot with the wife, the capital mm-hmm. T, capital W role. But Gibson goes all the way on this one. I do have to give that to him. There's no winking or nodding to the camera. He's fully committed to playing this guy with the talking beaver puppet on his hand. That being said, I don't think the film, and this is me saying this about Mel Gibson, I don't think the film was crazy enough for me. And I think it's a little everybody in the film is a little too accepting of this idea, except for the oldest son. Because, I don't know, because they like him, because they want to see him get better. I don't know, but I think it could have been even sillier, even crazier. And there's a particular moment which I will try to word properly, but it's a shower scene involving Foster and Gibson and the puppet.
Thank you for saying puppet.
Yes, because I think it would be the last show if I said it the other way. Yeah. Even though it's the title. Did you just pop?
I don't know what that was.
Have we all learned now to turn off our electronics?
Mine's on silent.
Yeah, mine's on silent now. So, anyway, I think if you had had maybe some more outlandish moments for that, I would have liked it more. But Mike, I would like. I'm telling you to rent it because I'd like to see what you think about it. But
well, I gotta ask: Does he get tortured in the movie?
No, he doesn't get tortured, and the beaver's not Jewish. So
okay.
However,
I'll see it anyway.
All right. However, that's good. I think that's the potential soundbite. however, I could see it. I think it was a wise move to not make this the first film after his hiatus. That was Edge of Darkness, which was just kind of an action thriller. So, I think if he had come out with this, people would have thought they would have put him in Sheen level of Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So, anyway, you might want to worth check it out if there's nothing else at the store. And that's a quote you never see in an ad campaign. You know what it is? It's that.
What?
It's because that is on your computer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Let me play a show to do.
Why don't you play my response to what I think of the beaver?
I'm going to.
Otter, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Yeah, Otter. The beaver wasn't that great. Now, jeez. Also in theaters, the documentary, The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. This is the latest from Morgan Spurlock that pokes fun of product placement and advertising, and it's everywhere. And he's going to get his movie financed in one way, shape, or form.
So what I want to do is make a film all about product placement, marketing, and advertising, where the entire film is funded by product placement, marketing, and advertising. The goal of this whole film is transparency. You're going to see the whole thing take place from beginning to end.
Morgan is an idiot. He
thinks all of Americans are idiots, and all the people who sponsored this film are idiots.
So ultimately, what we want to try and do is create what is the Iron Man of documentaries. Everything from top to bottom is branded from beginning to end. First time ever, documentary with collector cups.
We're going to be on that like a wet t-shirt. Is there a plot?
Liz, this is the movie right now.
I think the thing to do is go get a client.
Can we please get Mane and Tail to be the sponsor?
What are the words that you would use to describe Ban?
Ban is blank.
That's a great question.
You will never put more than your average Joe on a billboard, ever.
What if we loaded it with nudity?
Yeah, that would help.
We want to sell the above-the-title sponsorship for $1 million.
Is it going to be Palm Wonderful?
So does $1 million come with 100% guarantee?
For me, yes.
We're in.
Out of this film, they come. They transform, corporatize Morgan Spurlock. That's your challenge.
Well, have you got a pair of these?
With product placement, what do you think should be done?
There should be some little pop-up that comes on and says advertisement. It could be a scroll at the bottom, it could be a little pop-up, whatever. But the moment people are being advertised to, they should know they're being advertised to.
What you have now is artists partnering up with different brands to kind of get that extra push.
Sell, sell, sell.
Presents the greatest movie ever sold.
Where should I be able to go where I don't see one bit of advertising?
To sleep.
Ralph Nader, that's not entirely true either. This is one of those it's kind of NSN, no bleep news. It's
yeah.
We know product placement is everywhere. This is probably a good 101 for those who don't.
Product placement's been around as long as movies and certainly as long as TV.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, those commercials, even at Landmark, if those weren't there, tickets would be $15. Just a reminder. So, yeah, it's those who are aware of this are probably not going to be bowled over or overwhelmed by, you know, new discoveries. It is interesting to see how far Spurlock will go to get, well, of course, the film is actually called Palm Wonderful's Greatest Movie Ever Sold. You also get to see how far the products, the companies right. want to go. You know, once they agree, then stipulations start coming in and they want a firmer, bigger grasp on the movie, on the product itself. And it is interesting to see how Spurlock gets around that or works with that. But this is something that happens all the time. You know, I've jokingly said, I think we're working on the, what am I calling it this week? The Yats Film Sociology presented by Sun King or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
presented anyway. By Steaks.
Yeah, that's right. Film Sociology brought to you by Steaks.
Yep.
We like that.
Mm-hmm. We do like that.
Hint, hint. So, and I don't.
1630 North Meridian. just ring the back door.
That's right. Or the side door, really. That's anywhere. But no, I like this better than Spurlock's last documentary where he was looking for Osama bin Laden. Mm. Doesn't really matter now.
No.
But yeah.
Found him.
But it is interesting to see how much and how far. So if go rent it. It's worth checking out.
Wow, that'd be some good filming there, Mr. Soci.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
That'd be some good filming.
Thank you, Abdul. You're always a part of the show. You know that. Okay, some titles that are on Blu-ray. Rounders, for you fans of poker out there, or over-the-top performances from John Malkovich.
Both.
Yeah, that's actually both. Kobe, this sorry, this one's for you. Swingers.
Seen it.
You've not seen Swingers?
Nope.
Really?
It
fits
yeah.
into your idiom. I would have thought you would. Your money and you don't even know it.
I'm not commenting. I'm dating his first grade teacher.
That's true. That is true. Boy, we'll get to that
yes,
in a little
mark
bit.
Mark that, 5:44 p.m.
That's right. Kobe owned. The Bruce Willis action thriller Hostage, if anybody needs that on Blu-ray. Barry Lyndon, for you Kubrick fans out there, that's a lot of candles.
Ryan O'Neill
and a lot of candles. The original Stanley Kubrick Lolita, James Mason, Shelley Winters, and Sue Lyon. And Peter Sellers.
Sue Lyon.
Early, yeah, that, how old was she when this movie was made? Okay. We shouldn't say that, but as she got older.
Well, it's called
yes,
it's
I know
Lolita.
That. Yeah, I think she was not of age when she made that movie. That's what's made it uncomfortable. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a, yeah, but Sue Lyon. She's, Kobe.
What?
Sue Lyon, Google.
Okay.
Yeah. Also for Kobe, which he might be watching this later this fall, the Women in Cages collection, thanks to Shout Factory, the Big Bird Cage, the Big Dollhouse, and Women in Cages,
ooh,
all in one Blu-ray collection. Ms. Greer is a part of this collection.
What?
Yes. Oh, yeah. These are some of the cheaply made exploitation films that were shot in the Philippines mm-hmm. in the late 60s, early 70s. Yeah, AIP and Roger Corman, they did a lot of business in the Philippines. There is actually a documentary about making movies in the Philippines, which is very similar to Not Quite Hollywood, which was the Ozploitation film about making movies in Australia. So got to look for that. I would like to buy that. And I bring up this title because it's a documentary, but it's not one in theaters. But I brought this up because of a really fascinating read in ESPN. But there's a Blu-ray of, it's called WWE OMG, the top 50 incidents in WWE history. That'll be interesting. I'd like to see how many of them are, you know, before 1990 or 2000. But anyway, I bring that up because there is a really fascinating article in ESPN about Ric Flair, the wrestler. Mm. And Nature Boy's got some legal money, women issues. Oh my, Space Mountain is closed and in debt. No limousine flying, riding, no jet flying because there's no money for gas or payments apparently. But it is sad. It is a little sad that anyway, Flair's fun to watch. Of course, he's apparently still wrestling because he has to now.
Yeah.
He's become modern-day Mickey Rourke. So anyway, there's the top 50 incidents in WWE history is on Blu-ray. And I forgot to bring this up last week. This is now in the Soce home, and we're very excited about it. Mystery Science Theater 3000 versus Gamera.
Oh, Gamera.
All of Gamera is really neat. Gamera is made with meat.
Turtle meat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, all of the Gamera movies.
Mike bounces up and down in his chair.
Gamera is the best on MST.
Yeah. They did, I think, four or five of these and for the Kobe. Because you're looking at us like we're insane. Is this flying turtle, and when he flies, fire comes out of every orifice. We didn't make it. Japan did.
But we enjoy it
with the weird dubbing and the weird Japanese boys with the short pants. It's delightfully bad. These are fun. So, yes, my daughter has been introduced to Japanese monster movies thanks to Mr. Science Theater mm-hmm. and Gamera. You know what? I think we're going to keep going. You know what? Play the ID anyway. I know. Did I put it on the log? Do you have it up there?
Yeah, hang on. I got to find it because all the stuff is messed up.
Oh, all the stuff?
Yeah, all the stuff.
All the stuff.
Wait a minute. No, I got it. You got it? It's right here.
All
right.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Okay, I bring that up because, yes, WFYI, HD to the Point, and Film Sociology is your home for all Tommy Wiseau audio.
That's right.
Whenever possible. Yep. So we're going to start things off with, and thank you to the whoever, you know, in the YouTube world, it was in your basement and you created this. We appreciate this. So Kobe, I'm going to say, I should have said this before in our pre-show meeting. when you play this audio, fade it in, fade it up, because it starts hot and goes in. See, hot, that's a technical term. But somebody has incorporated, but this is a combination of trailers for The Room and Inception. Check this out.
Never hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Mark. You know what they say, love is blind.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You think girls like to cheat like guys do?
What makes you say that?
I don't know.
I'm so happy I have you as my best friend, and I love Lisa so much.
So we're not worried about you. We're worried about Johnny. You don't understand the psychological impact of what you're doing here.
You are lying. I nearly hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
I can't hurt Johnny.
I know.
Story, Mark.
Gotta tell you about something. It's about Lisa. She's beautiful. I think I'm in love with her.
Go on. You know what they say, love is blind.
You got a lot of faith in Lisa.
Not always.
I don't have any more feelings for Johnny. He got drunk last night. And he hit me. Do you want me to order a pizza?
Whatever, I don't care.
I already ordered a pizza.
They can feel it. It's not true. I did not hit her. I want to give her a second chance. After all, she's my future wife. Well, maybe you should have a girl, Mark.
Please don't.
Why did you do this? You know better, right? Maybe I have one already.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa!
Don't worry about it.
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer.
If only Tommy Wiseau had enough money to bring in Hans Zimmer to do the score for The
Room.
Oh, my
goodness.
You know, I think that was so good. Let's save the other Wiseau audio for next week.
Right.
Or for 2 weeks.
DiCaprio, Gina's filling in. Wiseau.
Yeah, I love that. I think we should probably add the Inception trailer music as part of the show. That just makes everything better. So yeah, thank you, YouTube world, for giving us a combination of The Room and Inception. So one other film note we got to bring up to kind of that guy territory. Frank DeLeo passed away this week, who I didn't know was apparently Michael Jackson's manager for a while. I know him as Tootie Cicero from Goodfellas.
Oh.
Yes, that guy. Yes, that guy. The guy, and of course, he had the famous scene where they rough up the mailman because they were sending letters to the Henry Hill home, saying he wasn't going to school and they were going to take care of him. So, but apparently, he was a guy in the neighborhood and wound up getting cast in that. He also appeared in Wayne's World and Kiss of Death, among other films, and then wound up managing Jackson in 2009, right before Jackson's death again. So anyway, the weird management thing is there. But
now it sounds even more suspicious.
But you have not seen Goodfellas, have you, Kobe?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
I've seen The Untouchables.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a start. That's another crime film with Robert De Niro. The other one that was brought up on Fresh Air, which you can hear right after this show, is they're bringing up the Blu-ray box set of Scarface.
Yep.
And how much of an impact that has had. Because remember, if you watch Cribs, if there wasn't a frame poster of Scarface, that guy wasn't making top money. Because you have to have a framed poster of Scarface if you're an athlete or in the hip-hop world.
The guy that Zoe is seeing in Columbiana has a Scarface poster in his
Well, there in his flat. You go.
They had to make that tie in.
See, that's what we do. We tie up loose ends like Columbo. All right, Kobe.
Yep.
If you're done staring at the NFL fantasy draft.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. that's tremendous. I think it's time for your segment.
Here we go.
Okay. And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
Or right. What is Bianca making him watch? Well,
for the last hour, he's had his eyes glued to that monitor.
Yeah, I know he has. I has. So it's been a combination because I gave you, just so point people know, a point of reference, because I was on a documentary kick lately.
Yep.
I've given you two documentaries to look at. One is Anvil, the story of Anvil, the Canadian-British heavy metal band, for those who like Spinal Tap more realistic. And The Celluloid Closet, which is a documentary about the history of the images of gays and lesbians in the history of cinema. So you have those to look at.
Yep.
But Fair Sweet Bianca got you to watch a couple other films. What have you watched, Kobe?
That is correct. Little Miss Broadway and Captain January.
Two musicals starring Shirley Temple.
Yep.
And what did
you
think, sir?
What's that face, Mike?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
And?
I like them.
You enjoyed them?
Yeah, the cuteness was overwhelming.
Yes, she is very... You feed her to diabetics when you go in the shock.
Yep.
So, well, good.
A lot of orphan. Parents are gone.
Yes, she's an orphan, and she needs help, and she comes across nice people and occasionally overcomes the bad people, and then she sings her way through the closing credits.
A lot of that.
So, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, good. So now you have that. Now, do you still have Joe's movies that you need to hand back?
Oh, yes. I have stuff for Joe.
Because I think you've reached your limit of Joe's list. So,
I'm still not going to watch Creepshow.
Or Friday the 13th?
Nope.
But you know what? When our two football teams face, you're going to watch Hitchcock again. Apparently, now the time-honored tradition. Yes, we're in fantasy football. Thus the... not quite 100% technical aspects of today's show. About 95. It's all right. It's still an A.
That's good. That was better than the time you go, God, can you count?
which is also a sound clip on this show.
Yes.
So eventually, I think we'll just do an hour of soundbite medley greatest hits. You know, for the holiday, the Friday before the holiday. But anyway,
the best of the bites. Yeah. There you go.
But we have.
What?
That quick? Okay. No, we have a new tradition of when our teams play, when Kobe's team loses, he watches a Hitchcock movie, and if his team would win, he can watch a Pam Grier movie. So it's kind of a win-win in Kobe's world. More on that as the season goes on. Here's some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
What are you, Jerry Lee Lewis? You kick your chair back? You set the console on fire? Don't date your cousin. Don't marry your cousin. Don't definitely date him. Or Lolita, for that matter. Mike Ferry, thank you for hanging out for this hour of nonsensical whatever.
Always fun.
Yes. On behalf of Kobe Slagle and Mike Perry, I'm Matthew Sosie. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go Lions, please. You're listening to...
Go Sue Lions.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD2 The Point, and WFYI.org.